Well, you can take your Bibles tonight, and you can go to where it all began, Genesis chapter 1:1. Tonight, I'm going to be sharing on creation. How did we get here? How did we end up where we are? What did God do to create us and everything we know? Well, in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And in some translations, it's more accurately translated with "God in the beginning." So it should read "God," because his word should start with him, "in the beginning created the heaven and the earth." And the word "God" there is Elohim. And that means that it's God the Creator, or God with respect to his creation, which makes sense because that's the context of what we're going to look at tonight, right? And the word "created" is very important there. As we go through these verses tonight, we're going to pay attention to when that word is used, created, because its meaning is something that didn't exist before. So when you see the word "create" in these verses, in this first chapter, it refers to something that never existed prior. So God had to create it from nothing. It never existed, and then God created it, and it came into existence. And so in the first verse, God created the heaven and the earth. It didn't exist before that. So he created it. And then verse 2 says, "And the earth was without form and void." The earth was without form and void. And the word "was" there, if you've ever taken the foundational class, is the word ha-yah. Ha-yah. And Chris Geer says it 1,000 times. And it means "became." It became. It was that way because it became that way. Right? So it should better read, "And the earth became without form." It became void. So we don't know when God created the heavens and the earth, but at some point it became without form and void. And there's time between those two verses for all kinds of things to happen, right? So geological formations can form, dinosaurs can roam the earth, all other kinds of things that when scientists look at today and they say, well, this thing's millions of years old, there's time for all that stuff to happen in between those two verses. God created the heaven and earth, and then something happened and it became without form and void. So you can leave a ribbon or marker here, or you don't have to because it's the very front of your Bible, and you can go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Because what we want to know is, how did it become that way? How did it become that way? Isaiah chapter 14, we're going to look at verse 12. Isaiah 14:12 says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." And Lucifer was the name of the adversary, or is the name of the adversary. He was one of God's head angels. But something happened. He wanted to be above God. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. So somewhere along the way, Lucifer, the devil, the adversary, thought, I'm going to take over and be in God's position. I'm going to be number one. Go to Revelations chapter 12. Revelations chapter 12. So sometime in the beginning period, after God created the heavens and the earth, Lucifer decided he wanted to take control. He wanted to be number one. And in Revelations 12, verse 3, there's some imagery here, but we'll get a little bit more of a clue. It says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. And verse 7 says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. They didn't win. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. They got kicked out of heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. So the dragon it was talking about in those other verses is who? The devil, the Satan. And he was cast out, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And those angels are what we know today as devil spirits. Right? And in verse 4, it says, his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. That's referring to him taking a third of the angels with him. Those are his devil spirits. And that's who he went to war against God with, was his third of the angels. But he lost. And they were cast down. They were cast out of heaven and into the earth. And into the earth because they lost. They lost the battle, the war. And his angels were cast out with him. And so as a result of the war, the first heaven and earth became without form and void. They were destroyed. They were no longer recognizable. Okay, so you can go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And so that's what happened. The adversary thought he was going to be able to take over. He was going to be higher than God. He lost that war. And he and his angels, which are now devil spirits, were cast out into the world. And it resulted in the earth becoming without form and becoming void. So Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. And the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So all that remained was deep darkness and water after everything was kind of obliterated. And in verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. It doesn't say God created light, right? It says that God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Right? So this light existed before, and God needed to bring it back, because after everything became without form and void, it was just darkness upon the face of the deep, and the deep being the waters, which we'll see in a moment. So God said, let there be light, and there was light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called, verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So on day one, God separates light from darkness, and it was good. And it was good. Verse 6, and God said, again, he spoke. He didn't have to create, but he spoke. Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. All right, so a firmament, if you look it up in the dictionary, is an expanse. All right, it's an expanse. And God said, let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, or the expanse, verse 7, and divided the waters which were under the firmament, or the expanse, from the waters which were above the firmament, or expanse. And it was so. So he, you know, water everywhere, and God creates this expanse that divides the waters from the waters. So there's waters above the firmament, the expanse, and there's waters below the firmament, the expanse. And verse 8, it says, and God called the firmament, he gave it a name, God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So God creates this expanse, and this expanse includes what we call outer space, right? It divides the water from the water, and it includes outer space. So the water that's under the heaven is the water we know today. We swim in it, and there's water beyond the expanse, outside of outer space. So if what we believe to be true is about what the word says, it means if you made a rocket ship and somehow managed to get yourself to the outside edge of the universe, you would find on the other side of the edge of the universe more water.
Why?
We'll have to ask God. That's a great question. So the waters above and the waters under, right? If you somehow made it all the way out, you would find water. Verse 9, and God said, let the waters under the heaven, right? So the waters below outer space, what we know today and swim in, let the water under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. All right, so again, God said these things. So the dry land and the waters, all of that already had been created, and it was created in verse 1. But God had to put it all back together here in verse 9. Verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and that's where we are. And the gathering together of the waters called he seas, oceans. And God saw that it was what? It was good. Right, so God gathers up all the water that's under heaven into seas, and he makes dry land appear again. And if we contrast that with verse 2, where the earth became without form and void, it was empty and ruined. So God had to put the earth back together. He reforms the physical earth and the oceans and all the stuff that we know here today, and it was good. He didn't have to create it. It already was created in verse 1, but he had to put it back because it was without form and void. It was empty and ruined, and God needed to kind of put it all back together. In verse 11, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. So God said, again, he didn't create. He said, let there be grass and plants and trees and fruits. And it was so. All of those, that plant life grew because God said for it to happen. Verse 12, and the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was what?
Good.
So plant life existed before. it existed before, and God is simply restoring it upon the earth, right? So when people dig up really old fossilized imprints of leaves and stuff that are millions of years old, well, plant life existed before, and now God was putting it all back together. Verse 13. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Okay, so the third day he reforms the earth and the plants and everything on it. Verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament, the expanse of the heaven, to divide the day from the night. So in verse 14, on day 4, he said, let there be lights in outer space, the firmament of the heaven. When the Word of God talks about heaven, in many cases it's talking about anything above the earth, right? So he's saying, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven, lights in outer space to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Right? So God creates all of the stuff that we see up in the sky, or he forms it. He said, let there be those things. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day. What do we call that? Hold it. The sun. That's right. And the lesser light to rule the night, which we got.
The moon.
That's right, the moon. The lesser light to rule the night, he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So God had to make the sun and moon and stars, not created, and put them in the expanse of heaven and use them for cool things, in verse 14, for signs and seasons and days and years, right? So that we could tell time by it, that we could navigate by it. And you'll see in other places in the Word where it says the Word is written in the stars. He meant for man to be able to look up at those stars and see the Word in those stars, and for it to give them time and direction. God did all that for us. In verse 20, and God said, once again he says, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life, and the fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven, in the sky. So on this day, he wants to make everything that lives in the ocean and everything that's going to fly around in the sky. And verse 21 is cool because it says, and God did something we haven't seen in a minute. He created. God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And there's, again, the words here in the King James are a little out of order, but the better way to translate this is God created soul life, and then the examples, great whales, and every living creature, and every bird, right? So what God created on this day was soul life, the soul life of what we know to be in animals. Now, what does that mean? It means it didn't exist before. So I don't know what was in dinosaurs, but it wasn't this. And this soul life was created on this day. And it was made into fish and things that live in the sea and birds and things that fly in the air. And verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. Right? And that word life in verse 20 is nephesh, which, if you remember back from the class, is soul life. Right? It's soul life. So this is what God created. He created soul life on the fifth day. And as part of that, we get all of the things that live in the sea and all the things that fly in the air. Verse 24, and God said, let the earth, because we took care of the sea and we took care of the air, now let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God created the beast of the earth. No, it says he what?
Made
it. Why did he make it? Because the soul life which he created was also in, you know, the mammals and other animals that walk the earth. He didn't have to create it again. He made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So they had soul life too. So on this day, he made all the land-based creatures. Right? He made all the land-based creatures. But he wasn't done. Verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. So he separates man here a little bit differently from the beasts of the field that he created. Let's make man in our image and after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds or fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So we're still here on the sixth day. God's creating all of the land beings and creatures. And he gets to man and he says, well, man's going to be unique and special. He's going to have dominion over all of this other stuff. And it's going to be made in our image. And that our is the royal we of the queen, right? It's still one God. It's not multiple. It's not like he and Jesus Christ were there. He's just referring to himself in such authority that it's our image and our likeness. And so verse 27 says, so God created man. So now we have created once again. He created man in his own image. And what he created in man was spirit life, right? When God created man, he was body, soul, and spirit. He had that living soul, that nephesh that the animals had, but he also had spirit. That was the part that was in God's image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And that's what made man special. They not only had a soul like all the other land creatures did, but they had Holy Spirit. They had direct communication with God, and they had dominion over everything else. God made man to rule the earth. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl or birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And that's what he told man to do. So God's plan for man was to have dominion over all the living creatures that he made. And the word replenish there in verse 28 means to fill again. And you can't fill again if it wasn't filled before, right? And it was filled before sometime between Genesis 1 and 2, when there was time for all the other stuff to exist. So the earth became without form and void. At one point, there was stuff there. And now, after God put it all back together, he said, now you're going to go and replenish it. You're going to fill it again, because it had been full at one point. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. Right? It was something for them to eat. Now you can leave a, well, you don't have to really leave a ribbon, because we're going to go to Genesis 2:18. Genesis 2:18. So God creates man, gives him dominion, tells him he can, you know, all the plants are for you to eat. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, we get a little more detail about what went on. And it says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet, or a companion for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." So that was the name thereof, the genus, the type of creature. "And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet or a companion for him." So God was like, it's not good that man should be alone. He needs a companion. And then he sends all the living creatures to Adam. And he's like, name all of the creatures, Adam. And Adam gives all the creatures names. But once he was done naming all the creatures, he was like, but none of these are my friends. None of these are my companion. So God was like, he didn't find a companion in all of the animals. I must do something else. Verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." So Adam named the woman, woman, just like he named all the other creatures. "Therefore shall a man leave his mother," or leave his father and his mother, "and they shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be" what? "One flesh." One flesh, because Eve was taken out of Adam. They were literally his flesh, which I always thought was kind of cool. So there we go. And just as a bonus, they were both naked, the man and the woman, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. So that's God needed for man to have a companion. And that's where Eve came from. Right from Adam. So God created man and then provided him a helpmate in Eve, the woman. So you can go back to verse 30. Well, we'll read verse 29 again. God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth and every tree, and in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat." And it was so. And so all of the animals were going to eat the plant life as well. "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was" what? "Very good." Very good. So every day he created or made or created something, and it was good. And then when he's all done, he looked at everything and he said, "This is very good. This is very good." And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Chapter 1 of Genesis 2. "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them," everything that was in it, stars, planets, fish, insects, plants, whatever. Everything. It was all done. "And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made." In the Septuagint, it is six, because God finished the work on the sixth day. "And he rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made." So he did all of the making and creating in the first 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested from the work that he had made. "And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it," or set it apart, "because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Right? Because he did both. He did both. Go to Exodus chapter 20. And so that's how everything came to be that we know. This earth, the oceans we swim in, outer space that we look up at, the sun, the moon, the stars, the animals, the insects, us. That's how God did it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt thou labor, and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is in within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord has blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it, or made it holy. So some people say, well, it's just a metaphor, the 6 days. You know, God took a long time, billions of years to make all that stuff. That's why there's billions of years. But it says plainly here that in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth. And on the seventh day, he rested. He could have done it in 1 second if he wanted to. He's God. But he did it in 6 days, and on the seventh he rested, and he gave his people a day of rest in the law. Go to Psalm 33, because he wanted them to remember what he did, and that he did it for them. Psalm 33. Based on genealogies and ages recorded in the Bible, like if you go in and you look at like all the genealogies from Adam up until Abraham, and the ages that God said these folks were, it's about 2,000 years from Adam and Eve till you get to Abraham. And then if you follow the same genealogies from Abraham to Jesus Christ, it's about another 2,000 years. And you know, plus minus a couple years for dating, but it's been a little over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ was born. So that means the total recorded time from Adam till now is a little more than 6,000 years.
Whoa.
I know. 6,000 years. And, you know, there's people who think that Christians are crazy because we've got documentation of all these dinosaurs and things that are millions and millions of years old, and they're like, oh, how can it only be 6,000 years old? But that's where those first two verses come in. It leaves time for all that. It still fits like a hand in a glove. It's just not understood. But life as we know it, in terms of how long man has been on this earth, isn't really all that long in the grand scheme of things. But Psalm 33, verse 6, it says, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. By the word, God just had to speak it. And the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear or reverence the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it what? Stood fast. And here we are, still standing on it. Right? All that God had made for us. And God just spoke, and it was all done. That's how big and how powerful and how awesome he is. Right? And that's our God, who loves us very, very much, and put all this stuff here for us to enjoy.